The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Friday, March 11. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and your New York Giants made some news on Thursday with a restructured contract for veteran wide receiver Sterling Shepard and by cutting punter Riley Dixon in a salary cap move as the Giants try to get healthy with the salary cap for the 2022 season. We'll talk about those today, and we also will have for you an interview that I did with former New York Jets general manager Mike Tannenbaum, who currently works for ESPN and works for his own website, the 33rd Team. That'll be coming up for you in just a little bit. But first, let's talk about the roster moves that the Giants made on Thursday. The Sterling Shepard move is one that should be approved of by the fan base. Shepard has been a popular player for the Giants for several years now. The only player on the Giants roster who still has ties to the 2016 team that went to the playoffs, the last Giants team to make a playoff appearance. So Shepard will be back for another season with the Giants. Looks like reports are that his contract, which had 2 years remaining on it, has basically been torn up and restructured to a one-year deal. Not sure what the numbers are. I would assume it's got a pretty low base salary with some incentives. Shepard, of course, suffered a torn Achilles tendon at the end of last season, and his availability at the beginning of the 2022 season is in doubt at this point in time. That's usually an injury that takes about a 9-month recovery period. So that would actually get him back on the field somewhere right around the beginning of the season. Might get him actually on the field to begin practicing right around then. Who knows exactly what his time frame will be. But I wouldn't count on Shepard being ready at the beginning of the season. And to be honest, that is one of the reasons why the Giants were able to get Shep to agree to a pay cut. The reality of Shepard's situation was that he wasn't really going to have a market if the Giants were to cut him. With teams not knowing when he would be able to play, it's highly unlikely that anyone would sign him throughout the offseason. He would probably have had to wait until the end of training camp or into the 2022 regular season to find a place to play. And you never know what's going to happen in that circumstance. This gives Shep the security of knowing that he has a team to play for in 2022. He gets to stay with the organization, the same organization that he has spent his entire career with. The Giants get a player who's a really good player when he's healthy, simply has not been healthy enough in recent years. But this seems to go along with Joe Shane's stated goal of both trying to clean up the salary cap, get the Giants into a better long-term situation while trying to remain as competitive as possible and field the best team that he can in 2022. So this move saves the Giants some money and will give them a good player, a good target for Daniel Jones at some point in the 2022 season. The cut of Riley Dixon saves the Giants $2.8 million. And this one is one that is pretty much of a no-brainer, had been expected. Dixon coming off a really, really inconsistent 2021 season. In fact, a really inconsistent couple of years with the Giants. Simply was making too much money for his production and too much money for a team that has serious salary cap concerns. Still no move yet with cornerback James Bradbury, but we will have that for you if and when it does come. Still expecting that the Giants will do everything they can to trade Bradbury as soon as possible and save a little bit more than $12 million in salary cap money. Something that, despite the moves that they've made with Dixon, with Shepard, with the cutting Devontae Booker and Kyle Rudolph, still something that the Giants need to do. They need to find more salary cap room to eventually have room to sign their rookie class, as well as have some room to make some low budget, low cost free agent moves to supplement the roster here when free agency begins on March 16. And as well as to have some room to operate, you know, during the 2022 season, something that they really, really had a hard time doing down the stretch of the 2021 season. All right, let's get to the interview that I did with former Jets general manager Mike Tannenbaum.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right. I'm joined now by Mike Tannenbaum, former general manager of the Jets, former executive with the Miami Dolphins, currently with the 33rd team. Mike, thank you very, very much for taking some time with me today.
Good morning. Great to be with you. And I'm always impressed and motivated by your passion for covering the team that you love so much.
Well, thank you very, very much. And I have to ask, where were you hiding all week at the Combine? Because I was looking for you all week.
You know, I just kind of do my job. You know, I just kind of work and watch the drills and say hello to people when I run into them. But, you know, I'm fortunate to be with ESPN and try to take my responsibility seriously.
There you go. There you go. So let's get right into it with the Giants here, Mike. Haven't talked to you, I don't believe, since Joe Shane was hired as GM and Brian Daboll was hired as head coach. Just your initial thoughts on what you've seen and what you've heard from those two guys so far. Obviously, not a lot of real decisions as far as the roster have been made, but just your general thoughts on what you've seen so far.
Yeah, you know, I think the challenge for any new regime is to come in and win games and rebuild. And, you know, great example of that last year was the Philadelphia Eagles. They had a massive amount of dead money, moved on from Carson Wentz, but they hired Nick Sirianni and made the playoffs in year one. And I think that's sort of, if I was running the Giants, those would be my goals. maybe clean up some of the contracts you're not happy with, but win enough games where you're competing meaningfully. And if things go well, make the playoffs in year one. You know, New York's a tough market, but if you establish yourself in year one, that goes a long, long way to having a really good program.
I think that Joe Shane has said multiple times he doesn't want to get his head beat in his first year. This is not a rebuild. He wants to try to be competitive as he takes care of the cap situation, as he sets this team up, you know, for a better long-term future. But this team's had double-digit losses five straight years, Mike. This team is in a cap mess to the point where I don't know how they're going to go out and really, not that you want to build through free agency, but I don't know how they're going to be able to supplement this roster in free agency. Is it realistic, you think, for Joe Shane to be able to put the Giants in a situation where they can win 8-9 games and be competitive in 2022?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. In the formative years of my career, I was very fortunate to be hired by the New York Jets in 1997. And the 1996 New York Jets will set a record that will never be broken in the history of North American sports, soccer, basketball, football, hockey, which is the 1996 New York Jets won one football game and spent more money than anybody else. It's almost impossible to do that. And Coach Parcells and Coach Belichick came in. I was fortunate enough. I was one of the people they hired. And in year one, we won 9 games. In year two, we were in the championship game. So I saw firsthand that good coaching, a good plan, and you can win immediately. And again, let's go back to more recent history. Let's go back to the 2021 Philadelphia Eagles. They traded Carson Wentz. They give him a massive extension, Ed. Mm-hmm. And they went to the playoffs. And they went with a very young quarterback in Jalen Hurts. They were well coached. They were opportunistic with free agency and trades. And in year one, they were very, very competitive.
Before we move into free agency and the draft, just quickly, what are your thoughts on this coaching staff that Brian Daboll has put together? He's leaning obviously on quite a bit of NFL experience in the hirings that he's made.
Sorry about that. Yeah, mute. I think Brian put together great staff. I think the world of Brian. I've worked with him. He's a guy that when things go wrong, it's his fault. When things go well, it's because everybody else did a great job. And I'm not surprised he was able to put the staff together that he did because he's a special human being.
Nice. Nice. So, Mike, let's talk a little bit about free agency. Obviously, the free agency signing window opens on the 16th. And the way things work with the what they call the legal tampering period, we'll pretty much know all of the big signings, you know, all of the big moves by the time that the signing period officially ends. The Giants don't really look like they're going to be able to be big players in free agency. And that's okay, you know, in turn, because you put yourself in such a bad cap situation. But I guess a couple of free agency questions for you. Should we buy all the smoke, all the hype, all the talk about the Giants and Mitch Trubisky? And if we can, is that the right move in your mind for Trubisky to come to New York?
Yeah, I would exhaust everything I would have in Daniel Jones before I would look outside the building. I think Daniel Jones is intriguing. He's been far from perfect. We know that. That's probably one of the reasons, you know, Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge, amongst others, will let go. But I would exhaust improvement from within before I start going outside the building. And that's what coaching and problem solving is all about.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think when it comes to Trubisky is that just sort of muddies up the waters for Daniel Jones. Obviously, the Giants need a better backup than Mike Glennon, than what they had last year. But my concern is that it just sort of muddies the situation as to whether the Giants really want to go forward with Daniel Jones.
I totally agree with that. I think you have to exhaust everything you have in Daniel Jones. Again, the number one way to improve a football team, Ed, 100% of the time, is improvement from within. When your existing players get better, that's the best way to improve any program. And that's why character matters. That's why teams spend hundreds of hours and millions of dollars trying to answer that very fundamental question, because the more character, the more true football character your team has, the much greater chance they're going to have to improve their team. And that's just a very fundamental tenet.
All right, let's talk about the Giants cap situation a little bit. We know where they are. We know that Joe Shane said, you know, at the combine, that he needs to shave, you know, $40 million off of the Giants payroll. Started that by moving on from Devontae Booker and Kyle Rudolph. We haven't heard any moves yet. I think it's pretty certain that James Bradbury is going to have to move on in one way or another. That's the biggest cap hit they can remove. The biggest question, Mike, regards the future of Saquon Barkley. I'm one who believes that the best long-term move for the Giants would be to move on from Saquon if they possibly can, if they can get some draft capital for him and move on. Sounds like they're open to moving on from him, but not actively trying to push Saquon on teams. What do you think will happen? And where do you stand on whether the Giants should or should not move on from Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I think I've been pretty consistent on this one. I would keep him. And here's why. Like, the object of the exercise is to, you know, collect good players who are good people. He's a dynamic playmaker. Why would you move on from a young, talented player who is explosive with the ball in his hands? Now, we could debate till the cows come home, how much is he worth? How much do you pay a running back? I think those are all great debates. And I think there's a way to thread the needle where maybe there's a hybrid approach with someone like Saquon, where, you know, if he plays the way he hopes and the way I'm sure the Giants hope, he gets paid commensurate with the market. But they have some downside protection because of, you know, some durability concerns. But here's a guy that's in the prime of his career. He scores touchdowns. He's a great receiver. He makes any quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, Daniel Jones, whomever, markedly better. And he's a great, great teammate. So I would be hard-pressed to understand how an organization would be better without that player than with him.
I think the long-term concern is not so much 2022, Mike. It's what you might have to pay him going forward, simply because we keep seeing the second contracts, the big second contracts for running backs, not really work out. You know, now we're hearing that the Carolina Panthers are trying to move on from Christian McCaffrey. You talked about threading the needle. I assume you're talking about financially. I mean, what can you do there? Can you give him a lower base contract, maybe with a ton of incentives that maybe don't hit the salary cap, you know, that might, you know, based on performance, based on games played, all of those things. Yeah. Can you do it that way?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And again, like, to me, like, being a great negotiator is being a great listener. And I would listen, I would ask questions, I would understand what's important to him, and I would work extremely hard to see, is there a way we could collectively thread the needle so he's a New York Giant for a long time? Because if we're building an organization, I want more of Saquon Barkley's, not less of him. Again, I'm hard-pressed to think, like, how we're a better team if he's not on the field than when he is.
Good point. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Giants do with Saquon, what his long-term future is in New York. We wouldn't be having this debate if he hadn't had injuries 3 years in a row, but we shall see. Mike, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming NFL draft, about some impressions from the combine. I was really interested the other day, a guy whose name keeps coming up, a guy who keeps rising up draft boards, a guy who's connected to the Giants in certain scenarios, is Georgia edge defender. I always say defender instead of edge rusher because they have to do more than rush the passer. But we're talking about Trayvon Walker. And I was interested the other day because you wrote a sort of, you know, pump the brakes on Trayvon Walker piece at 33rd team. So I'm just curious for you to explain, you know, your position on Walker and where you think he actually should go in this draft.
Yeah. So let's be clear. I really like Trayvon Walker. I saw what everybody else saw. This guy's a really like a special player from a standpoint, you know, and he rushed inside quite a bit last year, very productive. And there's a great premium on interior pass rushers. The best example, obviously, is a guy like Aaron Donald. And I don't think anybody in their right mind is comparing this guy to Aaron Donald. But what I would say is my concern, and I could say this, certainly people in the league couldn't. Well, what concerned me is this. Kirby Smart's a great coach. He's a great defensive mind. And Trayvon Walker's production does not match that workout. And that's not to say that he can't go on and have a great career, because I think he could. But if we were running a team, Ed, and we were picking the top 10, we want every box checked. We want character. We want durability. We want production. We want measurables. We want it all. That's what happens when you pick in the top 10. And you're just simply not checking the box of production when you're taking Trayvon Walker. And if you're in the top 10, you're probably not saying that publicly, but when you turn in that card, you're holding your breath a little bit, Ed, because you just don't know if this prodigious sort of ability is going to translate to on the field. While right, there's a reasonable chance it will, you just don't know.
Right. You might be able to live with that in the third round. I always look at a guy like Lorenzo Carter, who always has the incredible physical gifts, but hasn't really translated them. So that's a good point. I want to ask you, for you, OT1 in this draft, is it Ikem Ekwonu or is it Evan Neal?
Yeah, they're 1 and 1A for me right now. I'd be really, really happy with either one of those guys. I mean, if I had to get a small advantage right now, it's probably the Evan Neal because of, you know, the level of competition. But Ekwonu's a really special player in his own right.
What's the chance at least one of those guys is still sitting there at 5 in your mind?
I think the chances just went up the other day because the Jaguars, you know, Frank Robinson again. So that tells me they're taking Aiden Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is good for the Giants, because when I look at Joe Shane has a what he said the other day, he wants 7 for 7. He wants to go into the draft with 7 players. You know, he could sleep at night when, you know, if he had to pick any of those 7 guys, you know, with his 2 picks. And I tried to do that list without Hutchinson because I think he's the one guy who's just plain not going to be there. So
I totally agree, because Hutchinson has attributes you can't see.
Right. So the second part of that question, there's a big debate as to who is offensive tackle 3. It's a 2-part question for you. Is it Charles Cross? Is it Trevor Penning? And if you're the Giants and you can't get Ekwonu or Neal, is either one of those players worth the 7th overall pick?
Yeah, they both might be. You know, Penning, tough guy. Saw him at the Senior Bowl. You know, Cross is a guy that, you know, he should come in, and his game really translates well to the modern NFL game, just in terms of, you know, he's a really, really good pass protector. I don't know if he could just drive people off the ball, roll his hips in the run game. But I think there's a lot of things he can do really well. So I think if they came out of this with either of those guys, they're going to be better and they're improved.
So you're not that concerned really about the limited, you know, run blocking snaps from Cross, simply because it's such a passing league?
Yeah. And like, there's other things he can do, which is, you know, there's a lot of things like, you know, they're considered passes, but, you know, all those bubble screens behind the line of scrimmage plays, you know, jet motion, you want your tackles. I think there's more of a premium now, Ed, on the athleticism of tackles to get out to the perimeter. And I think that's things that he does really well.
Mm-hmm. 2 more for you. I look at Sauce Gardner, the cornerback from Cincinnati, and I think he's separated himself as the clear cornerback 1 in this group. And I think personally that based on the scenarios and how things work out, I would love to see Sauce Gardner with the Giants. Just your thoughts on Gardner and in general with a Wink Martindale blitz heavy, you know, cornerback on an island system. If you're the GM, are you looking to supply him with corners first or pass rushers first?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would tell you that when we had Rex Ryan at the Jets, which was the same system, you know, they want to have a lot of overload blitzes, meaning they want to send more people than you can block. And that puts a premium on having guys that can play man-to-man on the back end. And Sauce Gardner, to me, he really reminds me of Antonio Cromartie, someone we had at the Jets, just in terms of his length and athleticism. And he certainly can play man-to-man. So to me, if you have great difference-making corners, that automatically makes you a better pass rush team because now you can send more defenders and could block.
That's an interesting way to look at it, Mike. It really is. And the last thing for you, we have to talk about Kayvon Thibodeau. We just this morning at Big Blue View released a film study from one of our guys, Nick Filato, just breaking down Thibodeau's tape. And Nick came to the same conclusion that I come to. When you look at this kid on tape, when you look at what he does on the field, this kid's a clear top five pick. The question, you know, for me is, do you think the brand stuff, the stuff he said about Alabama, do you think there's enough concern, you know, that the Giants, for example, should pass on this kid, or do you just have to take that talent?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, again, we talked earlier, Ed, about you want to have every box checked that you possibly can. So what I would tell you is I saw some Jason Taylor. I was just studying him recently. When you look at his length, his ability to get off, his ability to stay off the ground and bend an edge, it's really, really impressive. And I think context is really important because I understand the concerns about NIL and deals and you know, brands. I just think that's the day and age. And I think you gotta cut these guys in half and see what oozes out of them. You know, you want a world-class competitor. You want someone that has mental and physical toughness. You want somebody that's going to make their teammates better. And again, the number one attribute that I know about Brian Daboll is he's going to come in and he's going to make that building better because it's going to be about everybody else except for him, except when things go wrong, because then it's going to be his fault. It's never the word I. It's always we and us. I think words matter. And I think Brian Daboll's character is really rare and special. And I was privileged to be around him. And I think when you think about the players that will work well with Brian Daboll, it's going to be players that have that sort of characteristics. People that use the words we and us, not I. People that don't make excuses. People that love the game. And I wouldn't say Thibodeau is that or isn't that, but those are the questions I would be asking.
It's just so hard because he speaks so well. I listened to his press conference at the combine. He speaks so well. He is intelligent, but I came away thinking later, you know, it bothers me a little bit that he has to tell me how intelligent he is. So, and it bothers me a little bit that he planned to do the workout at the combine and did one drill and walked away. And I mean, those are the kinds of things that, you know, if you're a GM, do they make you kind of shake your head a little bit?
Yeah. And again, I would, you know, I think we've talked about this before, which is like, you know, nothing's outcome determinative, but everything matters. And yeah, I'd want to know why he didn't work out. That's not a reason to draft somebody yet or not draft them, but don't say you're going to work out and then not work out. That bothers me.
All right. Hey, Mike, I always appreciate your time. I know you've got a lot going on, so we're going to let you go. Just let folks know, you know, where they can find your work, where they can find you on Twitter, all that stuff.
Yeah, at Real Tannenbaum and with ESPN and also the 33rd team. And the website is the 33rd, the33rd team.com, and we have a completely free newsletter that takes people behind the scenes. And a lot of our content is written by people that have actually made decisions, coached the players. Brian Schottenheimer just wrote a really interesting article about what it's like to be at the combine as a coach. And here's a guy that was just coaching Trevor Lawrence, his coach Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, and has really made our site much better.
All right, Mike, thank you very, very much. And hopefully we'll do this again right around draft day.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for having me.
Take care.
All right, that's our show for today, Giants fans. Hope you enjoyed our chat with Mike Tannenbaum. We always appreciate Mike's time. He's become a good friend of the show. So hopefully we'll get Mike back a few more times as warranted to give you guys some insight from someone who has sat in a general manager's chair and had to make some of the types of decisions that we always wind up talking about here on Big Blue View and on the Valentine's Views podcast. As always, Giants fans, thank you for listening. Please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio on all of your favorite podcast applications. Check us out on Instagram. Follow at Big Blue View on Twitter. Check out our Facebook page. Join the community at bigblueview.com if you haven't done that already, so that you can comment and chat with other Giants fans. Please remember, stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.